It's April 7th, 2015, and this is Insight Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And I am Errol Strider.
And I'm Rochelle Alicia Strider. Welcome to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation, a few laughs, several spiritual perspectives, and as many surprises as we can muster.
Our time together is sponsored by Go Raw. Have you tried it? 100% raw food. Not only tastes good, but is good for you. I was in their factory. I was impressed. It was like amazing. 60,000 feet dedicated to creating just an unbelievable quality, tasty treat for you. So there you go.
And Go Raw can be found at Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, and the organic section of Costco. But go to GoRaw.com to find out where Go Raw can be found in your neighborhood. And if you want to join us tonight, our call-in number is 888-627-6008. That is 888-627-6008. And you might be very full of jelly beans and eggs and whatever people eat at Easter. I don't know how ham got to be an Easter food. I was really kind of thinking about that.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, how did ham get to be an Easter
food? Well, originally, when they started attaching...
You're making it up.
Just a minute.
You're making it up.
Just a minute. They started... When they got... They had a marketing meeting. They thought, what would be a good symbol for Easter? What is Easter? Christ resurrected. Christ transcending limitations of time and space. Pouring out of the pouring spirit. And the guy said, bunnies. That's what we need. Bunnies. And the other people went, bunnies, huh? They liked it. And so bunnies then became an integral part of the religious thing. And then they are always come linked with, what was the thing you were?
Ham.
Ham. Pork, they always pigs. Come with ham.
Bunnies and pigs? I don't think so.
Well, it's
that
all
was a stretch. That was a real stretch.
It's all a matter of interpretation, is the way I look at it.
I think that Christians wanted to separate themselves from Jews. So they picked ham, the one thing Jews aren't supposed to eat.
Right.
That was my opinion, for whatever it's worth.
Well, tonight we want to go within. Within, like there's without, and there's within. And the within is really different than the without. The without is like from your mind and body outward, and all the phenomena that are right now impacting your consciousness, and all the activity that takes up your mind time.
And your kinetic time.
All of that.
Absolutely. Touchy-feely.
And there's that without. And the curious thing about the without is that it is perceived.
It's hard to be alive without it.
This is true. This is not something I would argue with. However, the without is initially all about receiving signals through your senses. We have a five and a half, six-week-old granddaughter. And so I'm very aware that she is like absorbing information through her senses right now at probably an unbelievably rapid rate. And she is, like so many of us, gathering this whole concoction that is our perceptual life and what we make of it. Because a lot of the mind, for example, is devoted to just making sure the body part is safe, secure, fed, bled, etc., whatever it needs. So if you think about all the attention that's given to the body... You can stop me at any time here, Rochelle.
No. Go ahead. See how far you go with this.
Okay. So that's that whole frame of reference from which we normally relate to life. That's the without. And then the within has nothing to do with that, really.
Oh, I don't think so.
Well,
I disagree.
Well, just a minute. Let me just say what I mean by that.
All right, but hurry up.
Timmy's trying to say what I mean, and the woman just says what she means. Anyway, what I mean by that is it takes in the information from out there, and out there provides a arena in which choices can be made. Because I realize the only thing that happens of any significance in the outer is the action of making choices and what determines the choices. Because it's our choice-making, curiously enough, that gives information to that within part, which is like pure being, just fundamentally pure being, but somehow knowing me in a very particular way, which is the me that I'm self-aware of. And it's having an experience of all the things my outer is experiencing. And it is actually converting those impressions, because that's really all they are, into like grist for the mill, fodder for the growth of my soul. It's like it's the particles and God adds the water. And you put the particles together and the water together like a cake mix. And you have the soul. You have this growing thing. And so the inner is always the place from which we connect to eternity and the infinitely possible and the potential. And it's way beyond our ability or the ability of the outside to even begin to grasp. But then you could have that class lesson next week again if you called in now.
God.
I'm sorry, I got a little self-conscious because I realized I was going on at length.
But I see, what I hear you saying is that you take in that which is outside of you and then it influences the within. And I think the within influences everything. If it's a germ, if it's very young, the within, let's say, then it's taking information from the outside world and it's moving them through this very, very immature system. And it doesn't do very much except something in that system extrapolates
right
information and holds it to a point. So when you grow up, you remember it. It's like people saying, when you grow up, when you're older, you'll remember this and you'll do something with it. What I'm saying to you now, you probably won't have any meaning, but later you will. And I remember things that were told to me when I was little like that. Like there was a time when I went, oh, that's what they meant by that. Or that's what that is. I really remember doing that.
Yeah, like when I first had this, oh, that's what they mean by an orgasm.
I just knew that was coming. Oh, I didn't mean to make a pun on that one.
That is so bad. Let me tell you a quick little story. It's about a germ. Speaking of germs, a little germ knelt down to pray one day. Yes, he supplicated in the human way. Why should a tiny germ drop to his knees? Because on this day, it started to sneeze. What a calamity for a germ to bear. To tell the truth, it was quite a scare, for up to now he'd been so brash and bold, but on this day, this germ caught himself a cold. He knew all too well the effects of this ill. He had even resorted to taking a pill. But as a germ could only know best, this virus he'd caught could be quite a pest. Never did he think this would happen to him. The prospects, to be sure, were very, very grim. Our germ knew how bad this cold could be, for he himself was a cold germ, you see. How ironic this is, the little germ thought. Then I carried colds. No, it's the cold that I've caught. Little did I think when I took this position that someday I would need a physician. But no doctor could help him. He realized too late. To suffer, to sneeze, and to sniffle was his fate. He had caused many to suffer throughout his career. Why should they help me? He had reason to fear. So there he was on his knees one day. Having no other hope, he began to pray. But I realized years later, after I wrote that, I added two more lines. I kind of wrapped it up. I have to go find those lines. And I'll get back to you, folks.
In about a year or two.
No, just call or remind me anytime. You can send us information, eststrider@gmail.com. That's eststrider as in eststrider@gmail.com, just like that.
I'm talking about germs and viruses and things that go wrong in our bodies. I just want to say hello to Vaughn, if you're listening, and hope you're recuperating from all the stuff that you had to go through.
Right now, so many people are just experiencing a lot of stress. It's a continuum from people who are totally chill and relaxed, sleeping even, to this whole array of interactivity. And some of it, this interaction with this outer, is really demanding and stressful. And in that state, maybe you don't even think inner. You want to say, hey, man, don't give me inner. The outer's, you know, taking up all my time.
I just saw something, you know, when you said stress, I said, to the degree we need to be right and do wonderful things, that's the degree upon which we're stressed. Because it's very stressful to move yourself past places of comfort and move into the realm of discomfort. I'm lifting weights now, and each time I lift them,
each one is a half pound. But she started.
They told me not to use much more than a certain amount because my frame is real small and I might hurt myself.
But not your frame of reference.
No,
Rochelle.
It isn't, darling. But let me tell you the story that I learned from lifting these weights. There's a point where it's very comfortable, and then it starts getting uncomfortable because it's doing more work. And I'm just starting to realize that I have to go just beyond that comfort place. But if it gets too uncomfortable, it feels like it's losing something because it's making me, I'm not comfortable, obviously. But it has to go just a little beyond that to get the full benefit of it. And I realized that's what it is in life. You have to go beyond your comfort zone just enough you can get the full benefit of life.
And this is why we're entering Rochelle into the body fitness female class.
Over 70. Nothing to do with that. You missed the whole
thing. You should see her abs and her pecs and those back muscles. What do they call those back muscles? That's what I meant. The back. Anyway, they're like, she could lift a fork.
Get off this thing. You're not going anywhere with
you know,
it. It's just becoming ridiculous.
I should know better. And I should have been better taught. And that's why what we're talking about is so much about what we teach and how we teach our children. Let's check that out.
You. Sherelda's Brew Bar. But please feed them with your you. They seek the truth before they can die. Teach your parents where their father's head will slowly go by. Favor when you're you. They seek the truth.
They were two, I was one, confused, accepting them, what they said, why shouldn't I? They were bigger, and I had no experience. Just a child wanting to please. What do I ask of life? Oh, please, Mom and Dad, tell me the questions, please. What do I ask of life? But they didn't know. All they had were the answers. So it makes them kind of sad. They never had the questions. But now I look upon my child and begin the process of letting him go and of letting go of my fears, of his questions, questions that I haven't even thought of, so that he can be more. So all my answers must give way to better questions than they can be the answers for. That was a great discovery. I really want to recommend this group. It's called Playing for Change. And the lead vocalist, her name is Tula. It's a shortened nickname because she has what appears to be a Hebrew name. You can look it up. Go on Amazon. But you just go to this. Watch this video. She is phenomenal. To see her live and the whole group. So,
wait, the group is called Playing for Change?
Yes.
The piece is called Playing for
Change? No, the group is called Playing for Change, and the piece is called Teach Your Children. This is from a live performance in Australia. Well worth your time if you're one of those who are seeking to expand your heart, ground your goodness, and overwhelm your soul with infinite variable possibilities of love. For instance,
the within, the without is finite, and the within is infinite.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so hard to pin down. It's so hard to try and describe it, because with a finite mind, you can't. And yet, it's processing information in a way that we have no idea of. It takes in, when I say information, that which it informs it. Let's put it that way.
Well, just think of the richness and the complexity of your dreams. I saw a place inside this kind of like museum that was this room with water and trees, and it was like this pool just gorgeously designed. You're like, where'd that come from?
It was in your dream.
Exactly.
You didn't know where. Your active mind, your mind in the day, could not have conceived that. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it didn't conceive it. And the fact that it was conceived, I want to say independently of my conscious mind, but it's obviously not entirely independent. It's kind of like a little cell that fixes itself to my conscious mind. It's like a spiritual cell, so to speak, a little aspect of the unendingness, tapping into and embracing any experience we want to give it. The unendingness, you can pour that sucker into your experience as much as you want, anytime you want. What a deal.
That's why they call it unending.
I love that.
It goes beyond us.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Somebody was talking about giving examples, not just examples, but proof that there's more to us than this life. you know, that we go on. And they were citing all these things they'd read about little children, you know, saying that was me once or something like that. And yet, I think it's still binding us to the finite. And I'd like to think that somehow we could go beyond the finite in terms of our growth.
Well, I believe we have to get still. I think that's most direct.
I wasn't going to say that about still. I was talking about the fact that, no, never mind what I was talking about.
Note the way that our two minds kind of interface there. You know, I started down this path and she was going like at a different longitude. And then we kind of backed up and she ended up saying, never mind. And here we are back at the within. So the within is a paradox. The insight I had, which is a variation of what you said, you can't teach the finite about anything infinite. By its nature, it's polarized mind. Everything is about opposites. Its entire fundamental structure is delimitation and opposites, which leads to an incorrect assumption. This is, to me, the whole basis of A Course in Miracles, for example. And that is, you're playing out and buying into an illusion that your mind is making of your experience / perceptions, and through fear and the need to defend yourself against something coming in and destroying you, which is... You know, we're reading about times of the 12, 1300s. You know, castles was like requirement. It was like insurance. You had to buy your home with the castle to ensure that you won't be attacked and killed and smitten. We talked about smiting.
If you were of the upper class, the serfs and people like that, they did not have castles. They had thatched roof little huts.
And the soldiers were always, you know, living in on the road. Like, can you imagine almost 700,000 of Napoleon's soldiers half that. Still, it's a lot of guys lost their lives coming back from Russia, you know, just died, like 500,000 of them or something.
Got cold.
Man, you know, Mother Nature, we were back in Russia like we were walking through the Napoleons, and we were like following them down the hill, and they were running away from us and leaving things. Once I stopped down to one of Napoleons, I call the Frenchies and Napoleons, because to me they're all like little upstart people, kind of like that, with sticking their arms inside their lapel all the time. It's stupid.
Yes, Ivan.
But I wanted to say that, like the little Napoleons, that's like the outside there, but what's happening with inside is like you're inside, like we were like inside the weather patterns, which is what killed them. We were like them. We know that. We had adapted to those patterns. Plus, it was our home. We weren't having to carry things from
friends. Or not
friends.
Have food. Thank you, Ivan.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
It's always fun to have somebody who was there on the program. I mean, he's a little hard to see right now. He's sort of like a ghostly figure, but he still can talk.
Wait a minute. We just got a flash in from the within. Hold on it. Oh, my God. It's possible. Just a minute. It's coming in. It's in kind of a, like a code Morse kind of thing. It's possible. Oh, my God. Here it's starting to come in. You can almost feel it. It got its own energy. Oh, my God. Holy. Woo! Anyway, it felt something like that.
I think my husband has lost his mind tonight. I don't know where he is. He's in some other realm. But I think the within is not something that you can describe. Because when people think of the within from a finite point of view, they think of emotions. You know, they think of how you feel mm-hmm. in terms of the within. Within me, I can feel my heart beating for you, my love. You know, within me, I can feel the churning of my stomach as I have to encounter this test tomorrow. I think it's a very, like, an emotional experience for most people. And so, in a way, using the word within still implies that it's within your body. And I feel that the within is the outer reaching so far beyond your body.
The point where language betrays us, it can't take you there.
No, it can't take you there. But having experienced those moments when you are really coming from that place, when you're coming from the infinite, let's say, where time doesn't exist and form is merely something to enjoy but not something to take seriously, where our bodies are seen as the very bedrock of our personalities, at the same time being with us long enough for us to have to say goodbye to them.
It's like, for the time you're born, get ready for your goodbye.
Just having a good time.
Have a good time.
And the good time is also influenced by many things. If you're just coming from that emotional body, having a good time, you want pleasure. You want to feed that emotional body. When you come from the within or the infinite, or, well, I will call it love, when you perceive with those eyes that you cannot describe, everything changes. It's all joyous. Even the times when you're screaming and cursing and having mistakes up your gazootie, you start to realize, hey, that's a movie too, you know. That's a good movie. I'd pay money for that one.
Speaking of gazootie, that's our word for the night. Okay, every week we try to pick a word. I think gazootie. What do you think out there? Call us in if you want. Yeah, gazootie.
I know, and this little duck just fell down. Gave me $100 when I said
marks,
it.
Right. I want to just set the stage for going into the within, if I may. When I go in, when I start a day, my meditation time, which I try to get to, I get so easily distracted by the without. Finally, I summon enough will to actually sit down. And I often start off my meditation time listening to music by this amazing artist, Kip Mizui. I've been listening to his work for years as the bedrock for my meditation, because it is as you hear it. So this is a poem called Within Me. Within me, cushioned up against my misery, I sense the furtive, fleeting tongue of the divine licking at me like some princely frog hoping to catch me and shape me with its lovely saliva. Within me, nudging up against my string of no's, stretching back to my first scream, I feel God tickling my defenses, seeking to break me apart through laughter, that she might have room to wiggle between my cells and caress each ion me with the juice of divinity. Within me, knocking forever against the door of my icy vengeance, is my unswerving, inexorable lover waiting for me to disengage, holding his lips in readiness for my retarded kiss. Within me, embroiled in the chaos of my denials of myself, the multitude of smells I use to create the stench of my own disbelief, lies the undaunted one, though she must often live in the bleak sewers of my mind, with my past vomit running down the walls, soaking her with the leeches of my doubts, sucking hope from me. Still, she waits and reaches forever up to me with an ivory flesh opened hand open to all my aching, violet passions, and unattached, begs me to let her bathe me, nurture me, and transform all my rancid paranoia into sublime, pure soul nudity, that I might stand naked before myself and not turn aside. but release myself to the whiteness of my insides. The within of me would turn me inside out, exposing the whole beauty-drenched universe in me. A trillion brushstrokes, never repeating the same color.
Well, having read that and listened to that music, did you go within?
Yes. I hope you who are with us tonight could go on that ride with me. I mean, I look at poems like that that I wrote so many years ago, and I'm just kind of amazed that I thought those thoughts and put them in those ways. Anyway, this is Inside Out, the Naked Truth. We are thinking that maybe the naked truth is in that within that we're talking about. What do you think, Rochelle?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, here we are, we live in a clothing optional community where people walk around naked. Well, they're nude, but I realize that they're not naked in the sense that they're not exposed.
But it's a good first step.
It's a good first step on the physical level, but it's still on that finite level.
Well, but a lot of people haven't even begun to take that step. You know how uncomfortable. We should share with our audience, when we work in the office, we get people call in who want to come here for whatever reason to spend time. And then my wife, who answers the phone, asks them, what's the question?
Oh, well, people want to live here.
Or whatever, but you ask them.
You know, this is a naturist resort, and people will say, oh, I like trees. And I'll say, well, it's a clothing optional resort. In other words, there are naked people here, and if you want to swim in our pool, you have to be naked. People will say, when I say there's naked people here, they'll say, oh, I don't mind naked people. Naked people are okay. I'm serious. I've heard this. And then I'll say, well, if you live here, you have to be naked in our pool area. You have to swim naked, take hot tubs naked. And people will go, I have to be naked? And it's like perfectly okay for other people to be naked, but I don't want to be naked. It's a stretch. It's a stretch for a lot of people to be without the outer garment. And yet we wear outer garments that aren't made of cloth. The images we project out at people.
So if it's so challenging for apparently a lot of people, for a fact that a lot of people would really not feel comfortable being in a place where they're naked with other people. Mm-hmm. Now, it's hard for us to do that. Then how much more so or less so would it be to expose our inner self, where our self-doubts are, for example. By the way, you reminded me of an incident when I was the pool manager, the pool boy at where we used to live in Fairfax.
Right, the pool boy. You were helping somebody close the pool at night.
Oh, well, I like to think of myself
He gives himself roles.
Well, I was the pool boy in my mind. I had to give myself a role. Just like now, my role is being a cook. But anyway, a woman came to the club. She was interested in joining, and she just moved to town from Texas or someplace. And I said, I like to kid people. I don't know how it came up, but I said to her, well, you know, our water has two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen. And she said, oh, we had a pool in Texas, and we use chemicals in our pool. I understand that. And I thought, huh. I hadn't thought of it quite like that. Okay, that works.
What was the point in this story?
There was no point. You said something about that and the pool and wordy and naked.
It just moves all over the planet. Well, I want my inner being to be able to be naked so that when my outer being is naked, it's really congruent.
Is that the order for you? Because you're not totally understandably comfortable about that. How does your inner self impact that discomfort that your outer self experiences?
My outer self is afraid of being judged. My outer self.
Is that your outer self or your inner self?
No, my outer self is afraid of being judged. In other words, the physical being is afraid of being judged. My inner self can't be judged because it's too big to be judged. It's like, okay, what is that? when I feel comfortable allowing that out, then everything seems like very small that follows it. So to take one's clothes off in a state of centeredness and in a state of like truly, I won't use the word forgiving, but embracing.
It's an expansion of yourself, as I realize it. It's like you step into a more expanded self, and from that more expanded self, you then relate to whatever the outside is throwing up at you.
Exactly. So it's like I'm so aware that who I am is not this physical body. Who I am is this inner self. So therefore, I want to infuse that outer body with the inner light.
Did you hear that, folks? You heard it here. On Inside Out, the Naked Truth, where clothing is optional. But as you're experiencing with us tonight, the truth, it just kind of wants to get intimate. It's naked.
So many people, and I do believe that a lot of people equate nudity and sexuality together. That nudity is not pure, clean, and just plain beautiful, but it always has to be accompanied by sexuality.
Well, we live in a society that's like a tease. It's amazing. Like, for example, Sports Illustrated swimsuit. I can't tell you how many shots. My wife actually bought me a Sports Illustrated daily calendar. What a good woman.
I know. Well, I mean, what a good woman. You want to please the guy.
Anyway, so many of them have their thumb inside one side of their bikini, you know, that's holding it together.
Their thumb?
Their thumb. If you look at the pictures, their thumb isn't sticking in their bikini as
like
if.
The pose that they take?
Yeah.
As if they're going to take it off?
Yes.
Ah. Yes. The
and
tease.
Yeah. It's all about teasing. And we're suckers for teasing in our young, vital, highly sexual world consciousness, especially when you're young. Remember those days when our sexuality was just like, it was like, you know, the ruling thing of our lives, dear. Was that ever like
See,
that?
Now
for
there
you?
Is exactly what we were talking about, where the outer dictates how you behave in the world. And when you move to that place of within, it's a whole different thing. It's like, I guess it is hard to describe because I know when I'm in that space and I try to be in that space as much as possible. I don't always succeed, but I try. And when I'm in it, even sexuality takes on a different hue. Somehow it's different. It's just more beautiful and the physical is more heightened.
It's almost like you're glowing. That's the irony. The inside is like it lights you up and you're like glowing. And that's one of the goodies you get from it.
Like a chest of hidden gold, shimmers in the depths below. We are, the treasures that they hide. Like the sun, it sets the night, bursting through a darkened sky. We are, soldiers of the light, and we will glow. seals burn across 1,000 miles. We are brighter, the flame will never die. Let's show them how we light up tonight. Oh, you and I, we're soldiers of light. We will glow.
Thank you, Ella Henderson, for helping us glow. Learn about glowing. Think about it. No one could deny that we are fire, in that we are stardust. Our little planet is a little piece of stardust, you know, like little dust particles that gets on your coat. Boop. And we are even small on that. Dust particles of stars. What are stars? Stars are fire. Fire. What else is a star? There's fires going on constantly. It's a flame, isn't it? Isn't that what light is? It's a flame.
Yeah, it's a flame and made in so many different ways. Now little pieces of things inside a piece of glass, you know, create a different kind of flame. But it's sort of like a flame, but it does, light. I think the interesting thing about inner light, I don't think it's seen in the same way. It is really felt. You know, when you meet people who really have a true inner light, you can feel it. You want to spend time with that person.
Think of a pregnant woman.
Yes, filled with the light.
We all, it's almost universal, if they're happy being pregnant, that they glow.
Brides. The way they talk about brides glowing.
Right.
There's something about the very nature of being a bride. I don't know what it is, you know, in every culture that exists, there's some kind of special thing about being a bride, and brides glow.
One thing about this, our sponsor within, it's a co-sponsor with Go Raw Food, which is kind of within and the without of the best. What's not to like? Anyway, I mean, really, if you have to eat from the earth in order to sustain the body, and you can get like the purest form of food, expertly designed and created and made to taste good, so you won't think it's medicine and you'll actually really like it. Like they're pizza crackers. They really taste like pizzas. But they're made of sprouts and other raw ingredients.
Wow, that's
neat. I don't know
how
they do it. Yeah.
That's neat.
The one thing about the within, though, we could never exhaust it as a subject, can we?
Because it's inexhaustible.
I'm inexhaustible, you're combustible, he's so attached
adjustable.
To his life, she's so corruptible,
adjustable.
He's so befuddable.
You missed on that one.
You banged into a dead-end corner on that line.
It's really interesting when you improvise life, which is what everybody does, but they think they have to control it. That it's always fun. I mean, it's like, I think of the things that happen in my daily life that are exasperating sometimes and frustrating because they don't work out the way I want them to, and I'd like them to be
really
different. And at the same time, I'm watching myself, maybe with this inner eye, I'm watching myself go through these things and thinking, I'm in a movie right now, and I would pay $10 to watch this woman suffer.
I think I'd like to do often with you all a report of the week here at Lupin, because we're in a stew of mixed motley crew, so fits us. We could create an album. We're so different here, and the way the communication is managed and the lessons, what I noticed where I was going with this, what I got to practice today, because I noticed there was like a consternation constellating around one particular person and his relationship in the system and different units of life bumping into all that with each other.
That describes it pretty good.
And I found myself feeling like, yeah, okay, yeah, this is a real thing, you know, and this is like gritty, and this is where my response to gritty life must kick in, you know. And then I went, Errol, relax. It's nothing. It's just nothing. It's just a show. Just relax. And you can get involved in it if you want. It's okay either way. But just know you have the option. Maybe that's what the inner offers. It continually offers the option. You don't have to stay focused on that which is driving you nuts.
You have an escape hatch.
That's right.
I was talking today. We have yurts here at Lupin. A yurt is sort of a round tent-like hotel room.
Right. It's hard to describe.
It is. But the nice thing about them is they all have these domes on the ceiling. And I was telling somebody, if you don't like being in the yurt, we have an escape hatch. You just open the dome and out you'll go.
You say that?
I said that to a customer.
Yes. Okay. I want to just give you a little taste of something tonight before we go, just because, and we can do it more, because it's just out of response to this inner world develops religion and what we call spirituality. And it's just so interesting how we do all that. And it's a fun way to look at it.
I am the spiritual kind. I keep a cross in my pocket for some peace of mind. I hold on to it when I need a little faith. When I'm lost, I find I'm the spiritual kind. I'm a little bit Catholic and a little bit Jew. I'm a little bit Baptist and Episcopal too. Some call what I say blasphemy. I'm the spiritual kind, it makes no difference to me. Everybody now, I am the spiritual kind. Cross in my pocket for some peace of mind. I hold on to it when I need a little faith. When I'm lost, I find I'm the spiritual kind. Now my friend Kathy is a spiritual kind. She jumps in her jacuzzi to clear her mind. She keeps a statue of Buddha by her hot tub. When her soul gets cold, she gives his belly a rub. Now some folks say he is, and some say he ain't. But for me, St. Christopher is still a saint. When I get lost, he don't leave me behind. He's always been a guide for the spiritual kind. Let's go now.
Terry Hendricks, thank you. The spiritual kind.
She's fun.
She really is. We've played another song before, which we may return to another night. But tonight is Tuesday night. Oh, man, I'm having such a good time. You ought to all come by here, really. You ought to come out to Lupin, take your clothes off, expose your inside, your outside. You know, be totally, you know, naked in front of all of us. And be blessed.
You will be blessed. It does feel beautiful to swim naked. Once you swim naked, it's really hard to put on a bathing suit and have it slosh around your body when you're swimming.
And once you shower naked, it's really hard to go back to the old ways of wearing your clothes in the shower. It's like, oh, my gosh.
I always tell that to people, you have to be naked in the shower. And I go, I don't know anybody who isn't naked in the shower.
Well, there were a whole bunch of people came here fully jackets and earmuffs, and they got the shower. It was so funny.
Not true, everybody. Not
yeah, but
true,
it's a fun image, if you could imagine. Come on over and you'll see. You'll be able to imagine.
The only place you could wash was your nose.
Right.
Everything else, you'd be washing your clothes.
That's right. Right. We have some very unique ways of relating to clothing here at Lupin, being a clothing optional place. It really is different than the world. I mean, even though we've been here a year and a half, it's still like almost a little jarring when I just walk outside and just be naked. I mean, today I woke up and it was raining, it was cold, and whew, man, that was just perfect for me to go out there and let all that wake me up in my body like that.
For me, it's just knowing he can do that and not get arrested.
Okay. Did you hear that, folks? So on that line, we're going to say goodnight in just a minute. But first, I want to remind you that we're Inside Out. What do you want to remind us?
I want to remind you that what? Well, don't remind them of that?
Not yet.
Then what do you want me to remind them of?
Well, just I thought you had something in mind. Okay. Go ahead.
You
we got to close.
Me what I want to remind people of. Well, you might as well go to the ending and I'll remind them.
Okay, let's do it. Here we go. What do we need to remember, Rochelle?
Remember, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more. Good night.
Good night.